turn the air conditioner on. But my son, he's coming by, you know. I should have known. We should have tackled him and tied him up. But anyway, I guess it was a little warm, and it was. But I'm okay with one, you know. It's good not have to run that thing. And we our electric bills around here run $600-$700 at least during the summer. And the ones at the school are astronomical. And it's $800-$900 a month electric bill. I really don't care who your electric provider is. Oncor's going to get the biggest part of our money. It's not the electricity charges, it's the delivery charge. So if one of y'all can figure out how to run some lines and we can get off of Oncor, man, we might be all right. We could do okay. You know? All right, you're there in 1 Kings chapter 18. I want you to look with me in verse 24, all right? Once again, right in the middle of the account, this is Elijah meeting with Ahab and challenging Ahab, challenging the people of God. This is a challenge where he faces Baal's prophets on Mount Carmel. Verse 24, "And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken." Now, I want you to focus in, if you would, on a phrase there in that verse in our text. As I said, he had proposed a contest involving two bullocks and two altars. The proposition was real simple. We're going to put those bullocks on the altar, and we're going to pray, and the God that'll send down fire, all right? That was the deal. But I want you to notice he did not say the fact that he sends fire will make him God. You should notice carefully. Instead, he said this, "The one that answereth by fire, let him be God." Let him be God. I want to preach to you tonight on that subject. Let him be God. Look, the problem was never one of who God was. Elijah knew exactly who God was. You go over there to verse 36, all right? Same chapter. Here's, "It came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said," and God records his prayer, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." I think I counted these words one time, and I believe, if I remember correctly, it was 67 words. 67 word prayer that he prayed. He knew who God is. He knew who God was. The Israelites had trouble deciding in their history. They had trouble making up their mind who was going to be their God. Their history down, even recorded for us in the Old Testament, has them swinging from God and descending into idolatry. And Baal had never been God. Baal never would be God. But they kept fooling with it, all right? I think we see kind of that struggle in this day. Who are we going to let be God? Now, there's only one God. There's only one God. You got your Bible there. Go back. Keep your place here in 1 Kings, but go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, would you? Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I want you to look down in verse 4. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Bible says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." You said, "Preacher, that's Old Testament." Okay, good. Let's go now. Once again, keep your place in 1 Kings, but let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. And if you don't know, that's in the New Testament. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. And here's the New Testament variation, all right? Here's what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. But to us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5, the Bible says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Hey, there's one God. There's one God. It's never a problem of who is God. You said, well, who's God? It's God Jehovah, Jehovah God of the Bible. That's God, all right? There is no other God. All others are pretenders, and all others are man-made, manufacturers, you know. Some have been claimed by the individuals, claimed to be God. But even among professing Christians, we find problems of who shall be God. Once again, the problem is not with God. Problem's not with God. The problem is that folks will not let him be God. Let him be God. In order to do that, back in 1 Kings, there is no demand for foolishness. There's no demand for foolishness. Look at what went on here, all right? Elijah, being the great gentleman that he was, happily let the proponents of Baal go first. He said, he knew they could go first because he knew there was no danger of anything happening. And we get in verse 26, and they took the bullock which was given them. They dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But notice there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. Now, this hurt some people, all right? But didn't bother Elijah. And he said, cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he's talking, or he's pursuing, or he is in the journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. Notice that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. Hey, all that foolishness. Those pagan idolaters went through all kinds of gyrastication. Well, when I wrote that word on my computer, it lit up, you know, right? Because it didn't recognize that word, all right? But when they went through all their gyrastications trying to convince their so-called God to act on their behalf, I mean, crying, cutting, cavorting on the altar, all of it, to no avail, to no avail. I'll be honest with you, I think sometimes today we see somewhat of the same kind of thing, much foolishness in the name of God or in the name of the Holy Spirit. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, I've seen guys get up, I've watched it on television and seen them take off their coat and swing at a crowd, and man, all the people there falling back, you know. You say, what's going on? Foolishness. Foolishness. Falling in the floor, losing all control with a claim of being slain in the spirit. They had for years down in Pensacola what was called the laughing revival, where people would literally fall out and just laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh, and that was attributed to the Holy Spirit. Can I just point out to you, there ain't a scrap of scripture for that kind of foolishness. Not a bit. Okay, not a bit. Neither is anything for smacking somebody on the forehead and telling them God's healed them. There's just nothing there. All done in the name of proving it was of God. It was of God. I see those things. I hear those things. I watch that. And I do laugh, but at the same time, I got a broken heart. Got a broken heart for people that are coming and seeking that kind of thing when it's all unnecessary. Man, look, the truth of the matter is very simple. If you had the power to heal. If any so-called healing evangelist in our day had the power to heal, if I had that power, Harris Hospital would be empty. Harris Hospital would be empty. And not to draw attention to me. Man, I just would. Children's Hospital be empty. It'd be empty. But, hey, we see all that foolishness in the name of God. Well, there's those worshipers of Baal. All of that stuff, all right? Can I just remind you, God doesn't need to prove He is God. God does not need to prove He is God. It was God's people, the nation of Israel, who were answering the challenge given by Elijah. They should not have had to see this contest on Mount Carmel. There's no way. God's people today should have no need for a God to send fire from heaven to convince them He's God. Now, I'll be honest with you. There are times I would like to see that, but there's not a need for that. There's just no need for that to take place. We should not require anything whatsoever to prove He's God. There's just no reason for it. You say, preacher, how do you figure that? Go with me to Romans chapter 8, would you? Romans chapter 8. I want you to see this tonight, okay? Now, by the way, I'm not necessarily preaching this because I think some of you are sitting there saying, well, God needs to prove Himself to me. But I think we need to grasp this truth. We need to understand this. You see, the reason God doesn't need to prove He's God, Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit of God. We have the presence of the Holy Spirit of God living in us. Now, I'm going to repeat this to you because I think it needs to be repeated over and over. The Spirit is in you, but you must yield to that Spirit. You have to yield yourself to the Spirit of God. He doesn't elbow His way to the front. He's not a bully. He is there for you. He is there for your benefit to help you, but you must yield to Him. And if you yield to Him and you have the walk that you should have as a child of God, we know we belong to God because there is a witness with that Spirit, with our spirit. And that assures us, hey, you belong to Him. You belong to Him. When I was a kid growing up, I don't remember ever going to mom and dad and saying, am I your kid? I mean, are you sure? Go find me under a rock somewhere. I never remember asking that question. Did you ask that? I don't know. Maybe your childhood's a lot different than mine, but I never did. I never said, hey, Mom, am I your kid, really? I was pretty sure my brother wasn't, but, you know, I pick on him a lot, and I will till I die or he dies, okay? But, I never did that. I never asked, never doubted. Well, I don't go around to God and saying, Lord, are you my God? Hey, the Spirit of God bears witness. Spirit of God bears witness that I belong to Him. The Spirit of God that lives in you ought to bring that witness to you. You shouldn't have to have God to prove Himself that He's God. I'll tell you something else. Here's another reason that God shouldn't have to prove that to you. Look in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Shouldn't be a need for God to prove Himself to you. Luke 16, verse down in Luke. Luke chapter 16 has got the parable of the unjust steward. But then it gives us the story of the rich man and Lazarus. not the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, but the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Now, if you're familiar with it, the Bible said the rich man, Lazarus hung around and begged off the rich man. The rich man died, and in hell he lift up his eyes being in torments. The Lazarus died, and he was taken to Abraham's bosom. And the Bible tells us this rich man requested that Father Abraham would send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. He begged for that. And he was told, nope, there's a great gulf fixed between where you are and where Lazarus is. Great gulf fixed. Nobody can cross between the two. Can't do that. And then that rich man made a request. He said, I've got five brethren. Would you please send Lazarus and let him testify unto them that they wouldn't come where I am? Then I want you to look, verse 29. And Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. See, we live in a day where we figure, hey, if it's something magnificent, that'll convince people. That was the thought of the rich man. If Lazarus comes back, they knew Lazarus died, he comes back from the dead, he'll testify to them. They'll get saved. They won't come to this place. Abraham said, nope. He said, they've got Moses and the prophets. Now, what he said is they've got the Bible. They've got the Bible. Hey, listen. We don't need God to prove who he is because we've got the Bible. The Bible testifies to the fact that he is God. Over and over and over, there's no doubt about who God is. I do not read the Old Testament and think, Baal's coming up. He's coming up. He's in the running. I don't read it and say, there's Ashtaroth. There he is. He's coming up. No. Never had a chance. They're not God. God's God. I get to the New Testament, and that God sends his son to go to the cross and die a death that I ought to die. But I can't buy my way into heaven with anything, even my death. So God sent his son, that God, the God of the Bible. He is God. He doesn't have to prove that to me. Well, I've got the word of God to tell me, all right? The rich man in hell was told that the word of God was enough. It's enough. You say, oh, no. If people could just see some flashy sign. And I believe, hey, by the way, I believe that's the reason a lot of people go to those healing services. They want to see some sign, all right? They want to see something happen. But I just want you to know, because of the depth of unbelief, a great host would not believe if God sent some fire from heaven. They wouldn't believe. If they won't take the word of this book, they would not believe what seemingly was a miracle. I watch this thing on YouTube, and it's Foolus, and it's Penn and Teller, two magicians, and they have a program, and they challenge other magicians to come on and fool them with some trick, some illusion. Now, I watch those things, and I'm going, I'm amazed, you know. I enjoy magic tricks. I enjoy simple magic tricks. Man, I remember Brother Jerry Lewis used to come, and he never called it magic. He said they're tricks, and I understand what he's doing. And he'd do it. And, man, some of that stuff, it amazed me. Brother Miller was a preacher in Jacksonville, Florida. And I think every time my brother and I would see him, he'd take a dime, and he said, let me show you something. And he'd take that dime between his fingers like this, between this forefinger and that thumb, and go, he'd snap his finger, and that dime would disappear. Then he'd reach up, he'd hit himself on the back of the neck, and out come that dime right there. Bill Kingston was 4'4". I've seen him do that basically with a dog yummy. Dog food, all right? We were at somebody's house, and they'd invited us over to eat, and they were going to provide the meal, and Brother Kingston was sitting on the couch there, and they had little Chihuahua dogs, and they had little dog yummies there, and he'd take me and say, "Man, I'm tired of waiting." And he'd do, and you'd just swear up and down, he ate that dog yummy. May have. That stunted his growth. I don't know, you know. But I've seen those magic tricks, and it's entertaining. But I can just see today if somebody were, say, going to call down fire from heaven, and we'd go ask Penn and Teller, how'd they do that? How'd they do that? See, we've got an unbelieving world. And that unbelieving world will take anything over the Word of God. That's why I'm saying to you, our God doesn't need to prove He's God. Now, we don't need Him to send fire from heaven. But you know what we do need to do? We need to let Him be God. Just let Him be God. Doesn't demand any foolishness. It doesn't demand proof from Him. You said, what does it demand? Take a wild guess. Faith. Faith. The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please Him. We look at, I go back to 1 Kings 18 and I look at that prayer from Elijah. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, notice, let it be known this day that Thou art God. Hey, he just wanted God, let God be God. That was all he was interested in. I believe Elijah's faith was on display like nothing else. It wasn't the cockiness. It wasn't the cockiness of Elijah that made him mock those Baal worshipers as they went through all of that stuff trying to get their God to send fire. Elijah was having a good time. He had faith in God. He knew what his God could do and would do, so he wasn't worried about them. Hey, he had faith. I'm going to pray. He never doubted for a minute that God was God and that he could and he would answer the prayer of his servant. That was it. It was faith, all right? We need to remember today that if we're going to let him be God, it's going to demand faith on our part. You see, you say, preach, and I hope I can make it plain tonight. It's a very simple message. Let him be God. We pray. We don't get the answer we want. I'm done. Wait a minute. Would we not all agree God knows what's best? Man, in the good times, we'll all say amen. God knows what's best. But man, if we're going through the valley, we're going through the trial, we're going through the storm, where are you? You let him be God. You let him be God. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. I believe in prayer. By the way, I believe prayer changes things without a shadow of a doubt. I'm in favor of praying. But I'm also in favor of letting God be God. There was a lot of things when I was a kid I thought I needed real bad. But I didn't need them. That's why God gave me parents. And I'd go to them and say, man, you know, I sure would love to have a horse. Man, I grew up watching Roy Rogers and Gene Autry on Saturday morning. And I thought it'd be so good if I had at least a pony I could lope through the neighborhood on. We had a field back there behind our house. We could have fenced it in and he'd have had room. But you know, for some reason, they never seemed to think that was a good idea. They never did. There was things I asked for I never got. But they knew what was best. They knew what was best. If you're a wise parent, you know how to tell your child no. No. Our God knows how to tell us. Not right now. We ask for things we don't need. We pray and God doesn't give us the answer we want, and all of a sudden, well, he's not fair. No, he's God. Let him be God. Let him be God in your life. I mean, you just let him be God. It's not our deal, all right? The problem is that comes in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 58, the Bible tells us that he couldn't do much there in that particular area because of their unbelief. Unbelief. Folks won't let God be God. You see, we live in a day where people have figured out we're going to make God in our image, and then we can tell God what to do. I see those faith healers in that vein, telling God what to do. I never presumed that I could do that. I may have gotten cocky at times, but I never thought I could tell God what to do. I can't do that. Now, I can pray, but wait a minute. I tell you that I trust him. I encourage you to trust him. You say, I trust him. All right, good. Obey him. Well, now, that's carrying it a little far. I'll obey him to a certain extent. No, obey him. Follow him. Let him be God. Let him be God. Don't you try to exert your will in your way. Let him be God. He's going to work some things out. Now, I told you this morning, pray, pray, pray. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. You say, well, I might as well quit. I'm going to let him be God. No, he told us to pray. He told us we have not because we ask not. I'm just saying to you, let him be God. That was the situation there. You just let him be God. Instead of us trying to tell him, all right? He'll be God. If you let him be God, he'll be God for you, and you will not be disappointed. You're not going to be disappointed. Is everything going to work your direction? No. No. But he knows what's best. He knows what's best. We can see down that road. We can't see around over that hill. We can't see around that bend, but he already knows what's there. We just trust him. We let him be God. You know what? When we top the hill, it's okay. We get around the corner, it's okay. Just let him be God. We get in trouble, though, when we can't see around the corner and we don't think it's going our way and we take a different turn. Let him be God. Let him lead you. Follow him. He's told us what to do. He's told us how to live. Let him be God. Come to him. Don't come to the preacher and expect the preacher to be God. He can't do that. But let God have that position. Let him be the God in your life. And come to him. When you come before him, man, the Bible says we can come boldly under the throne of grace, but I don't think we need to come arrogantly. We can come boldly, but there needs to be that spirit of humility. And I still am convinced with all my heart the prayer ought to be, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. I'll be honest with you. I'll just give you some examples. I don't understand why Brother Leek is going through what he's going through. I do not understand why his family, his daughter, are going through what they're going through. I do not understand it at all. But I believe this. Like I said, we were there last Sunday and watching. I told Brother Leek, Brother Leek, I know how to pray for you better now. And he said, yeah, you know what, a sorry rascal. I said, no, you're taking it the wrong way, all right? Hey, I look at that family, and I look at Hannah. There's a girl for 5 years, kid, started when she was young, all right? Just a kid now, gone through it 5 years, but what a sweet spirit. Oh, my soul, what a sweet spirit. I'll be honest, if that had been me, I'm not sure my spirit would have been that sweet. Sweet spirit. I don't understand. I don't know why. I don't know why God hasn't changed that situation. But I'm going to let him be God. Not going to demand, Lord, you do it the way I do it, then I'll figure out you are God. No, if he starts doing things my way, that ain't God, all right? Let him be God. There's that challenge for you and I. And you may be going through the valley. You let him be God. You don't quit trusting him. You don't back away from your faith. You don't get to the point where you think, well, I'm done. Done with God. I'm not going back to church, you know. And I've known people that got upset. Things did not go their way. And there were problems. And I've told you about an individual that took all of their, had taught Sunday school for years, took all of their material from Sunday school and children's church, boxed it up, and it was in a box about yay long and about this wide and about that deep, set it out for the garbage man to pick up, and right on top of it was their Bible. Hey, we got to let God be God. You let God be God. I'm glad to tell you that didn't happen. That was not a good thing, but later, that individual got back in church. That individual got back serving God again. I'm so glad they did. It was somebody I knew, somebody I loved, somebody I cared about. I'm glad they did. But hey, they went through those years where they wouldn't let God be God. You've got to let him be God. He knows what he's doing, all right? He knows what he's doing. Just to be honest with you, if I had one prayer I would like to have answered, it'd be the last prayer in the Bible. You know what the last prayer in the Bible is? Even so come, Lord Jesus. That would be my prayer. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Come right now. Lord, get us out of this mess. So why doesn't he come? He's God. He's God. I'm not. I'm going to let him be God. I'm going to let him be God. In my life, he's going to be God. Now, who's going to be God in your life? A lot of people, it's their own intellect. You know, I'm going to let my great brilliance. Or it's somebody else, some individual. Look, I'm encouraging you tonight, and I hope you understand the message. Just let him be God. Let him do, don't argue with him, don't fight with him. Yield to him. Yield to him. When I was a kid, I watched other kids fight with their parents. I watched them watch what they went through. Watched that struggle. I watched that rebellion. And I watched what happened to them. I looked at that. I thought, you know, that's pretty dumb. I knew as a kid, I'm not going to win a fight with my dad. That's not going to happen. I wasn't going to win. And I don't necessarily mean a physical fight. I'm not going to win by opposing him. I'm not going to win by putting my will against his will. You know, I'm just not going to win in that. By the way, you're not going to win if you don't let God be God. He is God. He is God. But it's up to you if you let him be God in your life. You let him be God. That's up to you. And if you want to, you can shake your fist at him and say, you're not going to treat me that way. Well, he's going to be God. You're not going to change him. But you want things to go along good? Let him be God. I learned as a kid, let dad be dad. Let dad be dad. I grew up. I got married. I went to work for him. I still had to let dad be dad. Still had to let dad be dad. I'm going to tell you, you got to let God be God. If you'll let God be God, you'll have a wonderful life. You'll let him take control and run the show. Man, life can be good. Even in the valley, you won't be in the dark, okay? There'll be some light there. You won't be alone. Let God be God. Let him be God. Let him be God. Will you do it? Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, you just take this very simple message tonight and, Lord, help us to examine our own heart and our own life. Sometimes we get willful. Sometimes, Lord, we're hard-headed. Sometimes, Lord, we as your children think for some reason we know best. Lord, the truth is you know best, and if we'll just let you be God, and we'll serve you, we'll obey you, and we'll follow you, life can be absolutely wonderful. Wonderful life if we'll just let you be God. Lord, would you help us learn that tonight? If we're not fully convinced, would you help us to learn that tonight? We're not asking you, Lord, to send fire from heaven. We're not asking for that. There's no need. We've got the Bible. We know who God is. Lord, we just need to let the King of Glory be God for us. Help us tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, the altar's here. The altar's open. If you need to come, you come, would you? Page 401, only trust him. Just trust him. You need to come, you come while we sing. Come on.
Every soul by sin oppressed, mercy with the Lord, and he